Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast. This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG and Mike, and I'm joined with Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And Pecan Court Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Today we will be covering the final three episodes of Beast Wars Season 1. Hey kids, it's PSA time! All of the Geekcast Radio Network podcasts are explicit, so if you're a child under the age of 21, do not listen.
21?
That's right.
So what you're saying is that if you're old enough to fight for your country, you're not old enough to listen to our podcast?
Pretty much.
That's just rude.
Alright, the reason why I said that is because in light of recent events on the internet over the past week and a half, so I don't really want to get into it because the issue's kind of dead now. Everybody involved is kind of done with it, but, you know, Michael Wilson wanted us to cover our own asses, which I do agree with. I honestly do. I agree with that part. But all of our shows, since the network has been launched, for the most part, are explicit, and pretty much all of them should be tagged explicit throughout. Unfortunately, this show, for some strange reason, is not tagged explicit. Hopefully, Steve will have fixed that issue by the time this episode goes up on Monday.
So, suffice to say that we're adult collectors.
It says explicit.
We're having adult conversations.
With Mike.
It says explicit now, so we don't have to worry about it.
Good.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. So, long story short, without mentioning any schlongs, there was a Transformers collector, a very famous one, on YouTube, having private Skype chats with
his schlong
13, 14 year old minors, and we want to cover our own asses because we tend to have our minds in the gutter all the time, especially the complainer over there in Chicago, or I should say Highland, Indiana. You know, send all hate mail to Michael Wilson.
You know, all I'm saying is that occasionally things may be said by one or more parties that may be construed as adult content.
Yes.
And especially last week.
Exactly. And when all this shit went down was last week, and I thought, oh my god, someone's going to complain about us. Or more particularly, me. And I don't want to be the guy that's being accused of being a pedophile, alright? So, because, hey, for God forbid, a little kid listens to something that we say, and then complains to their parents about it.
Clarification, though. No one, those two videos that were made by Pia and Optibotomus, neither one of them ever called him a pedophile. So, you know,
it's true,
they've made that statement.
The backlash was there.
Oh, yeah. Oh no. No, I agree.
Nobody said it explicitly.
That said,
until the peanut gallery chimed in.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And they threw their peanuts.
Exactly.
Peanuts or peanuts?
And, you know, with my luck, I'm going to be the one covered in peanuts.
Okay.
And I don't want peanuts on me.
So that said, all of the Geekcast Radio Network podcasts, including the Beast Unleashed podcast, is explicit. If you're a minor under the age of, say,
18,
and your parents don't want you subjected to our deprecating humor or cursing, please stop.
Deprecating humor?
Shut up.
Deprecating humor.
You know what I mean.
Deprecative is the word you're looking for.
The thing is tagged explicit with giant letters in red things. If it's red, you don't do it. Red means stop.
This is our cover your ass, and it's hereby retroactive for
the past nine episodes.
Exactly.
Okay. So, now that that's out of the way, Steve, what have you been up to this week? Or since the last time we did one of these shows?
Oh yeah, my wireless adapter went bad. Got a new one. Works fine.
One so far. Couple,
shut up. It's a lot faster.
So hey, far.
Every issue's been with you.
No.
So shut your pie hole. But yeah, we've nobody's talking to you. Shut your pie hole.
he said pie.
Yeah, I said hole too, but I don't see you commenting on that. So
that's what she said.
Okay.
Peanut gallery is going to cover me in peanuts.
You'd like peanuts, don't you? All different shapes and sizes.
Oh, wow.
I don't think you're talking about peanuts anymore.
You know, when I mentioned 2 weeks ago when we released episode 8, I never knew we could go further than what we've already had in this show, but yeah, we just keep digging that hole. We're going to end up in China sooner or later.
Right. I've already been there and back.
And in the interest of time, since...
Yes. We all know you have a bedtime.
I shrivel up and turn into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Look at the little complainer.
Steve and I did do an interview for this podcast, but we're not going to mention it until episode 10, because it will actually be between episodes 9 and 10. So, yeah, we're not going to mention it just yet.
So, ha ha ha.
The sad fact is they're probably going to figure it out when they hear the episode, because I'm probably going to use some of the promos. Oh, hell. I'll just mention it now. After episode 9 is released, after episode 9 is released, we interviewed Ian James Corlett, who is also known as Cheetor. He was Dr. Wily. He's done more than I thought he did. He is actually the narrator for ABC Family Channel, which I never knew.
Take that, Flanders!
Okay. So, Michael, what are your what have you been up to?
Not a whole lot. I was about to say I just got new glasses, and I was so excited about it. I wrote a blog post.
Oh God!
Yeah, exactly. This is how slow my life is going right about now. I was also going to write another blog post. I haven't finished it yet about Daddy Day at my son's daycare, which I attended.
Awesome.
And it was like me going to daycare alongside my son, except he's a lot younger and he can do the whole dancing and running and playing with blocks thing that I'm not really physically able to do anymore because I'm old. But it was fun. It was interesting. I got to meet his teachers we did the calisthenics. You know, kids call it playtime, adults call it calisthenics, right?
Yeah.
We got that. Yeah, we got to do that, and it was enjoyable. I'm glad I went. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yes.
For me lately.
All right. So, without any further ado, we are going to get into some episodes.
There is a storm approaching. Storm of such magnitude, of such power, it is beyond imagination. And to think I would once have been satisfied with mere energon. To think that my ambitions lofted no higher than the conquest of Cybertron. Well, no longer. For I have been given a glimpse of power. Real power. And that power shall be mine!
Don't even twitch your whiskers, pussycat, or I'll fragment your hard drive!
You cannot shoot. We have a truce, remember?
Oh, I remember. But you know my trigger finger. It just might forget.
Then permit me to jar its memory. Get him! Get him! But no shooting. We are having a truce, remember?
You're mine, Stripes! I'll get him! I'll get him!
There's the signal! Tigatron the Barbarian is doing a bailout!
Then we're on our way! Optimus Primal, maximize!
The cat is being overtaken! I will engage! Maximize!
Negative, Dinobot! No weapons! We Maximals will maintain the truce!
But we must stop them!
I know, but we must do it! Peacefully.
How are we gonna handle this?
Improvise with what we've got.
Peaceful.
Darn, he got away! It was close, though.
Yes. When one is serving bait, presentation is everything.
First up, we have Before the Storm. Original air date is February 21st, 1997, written by Larry DiTillo and Bob Forward. Set in stone within a faraway mountain, Inferno retrieves from Megatron a mysterious golden disc, one that bears alien markings. As Megatron begins to unlock this puzzle, he surprises Optimus Primal with a request for a ceasefire. The Maximals can only wonder what this all means as both Megatron and Tarantulas separately begin plotting and planning for something big.
Yes. My first note was, and surprisingly, this was my first note because I didn't think I was going to pick up on this, but the "Yes, my queen bits" from Inferno start in this episode.
Yes, they do.
I thought this was the first time I'd heard it.
Yes. I do wish you'd stop calling me that.
Well, and apparently Megatron has gotten a cold from the low road.
Yeah, yeah.
He's gotten a cold?
Yeah.
Didn't he sneeze?
He was coughing and...
Oh, he's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a few times, actually.
I did notice the coughing. Yeah, I was wondering what that was from.
Yes.
But he had done a couple of things that he'd never done before. Number one, he's snoring in this one.
Yep.
Yes, he sleeps.
Yeah, he's sleeping. And, you know, it's like we've been introduced to repair mode and, you know, that type of thing where you shut yourself down. But no one's ever been snoring before.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of funky.
Yeah. Rat Trap keeps up continuity with, I gotta invade that Pred base again. But I thought that was kind of funny. Normally I would be all yay on the Waspinator splat alert thing, but that was just wrong what Tarantulas did. Did he pull one of his spider eyes off his head? Yes, he did. The big one on his forehead, not the actual eyes on top of his head, but it, yeah. Ugh. Gross.
Spider guts.
While Megatron is talking about Tarantulas' treachery, he pets his dino head, and then later we see him brushing its teeth. So is it a separate entity?
It made me wonder, because in the beginning when he was asleep, the dino head was staring at him.
Yep.
His eyes were looking up at him, and then later on he's treating it like it's his pet kitty.
Yep.
And I'm thinking,
like, I love you, dino kitty.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? And... Well, it was funny, and I will totally give them credit for this, but on the TF Wiki, they mentioned it, and at the end of that, they said that that Megatron obviously has a very special relationship with his right hand. I about fell out of my chair. I hadn't thought of that, but I thought that was hilarious. But I did notice that the head seemed to be alive.
Yes.
Which is weird, because you don't see other pieces of, you know,
yeah,
animal kibble being it, you know, self-aware, let's say.
Yeah. Again, poor Waspinator getting his head tossed around like it's nothing.
They didn't break out the Shakespeare this time, though.
Yeah, no. Tigatron the Hacker? Really? This is a Maximal that when he crash-landed, he didn't know what he was going to be, and he was more, I'm the outdoorsy type, quote-unquote.
Now he's recovered his CIA instincts. Don't you remember? Dawn of Futures Past. He was a cop.
Oh, I've never...
I'm Detective John Gimble. I'm a cop, you idiot.
Okay, then. This is where we first see that any Megatron up to the point of Beast Wars gets more lofty goals than just amassing Energon or conquering Cybertron.
Yeah. See, I was wondering at which point he decided that, you know, just the planet wasn't enough for him. He wanted more.
You know, I can also, and I'll probably have to do this once we get to those episodes in Season 2, I can tie pretty much all the G1 continuity about him searching for the Ark back to this episode. Because of that, because of him saying that he has more lofty goals than just conquering Cybertron.
Right.
Pterosaur and Scorponok play chicken with each other, and they both lose. When they were chasing Tigatron.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That wasn't too bright.
I
like the Pterosaur line when he had Tigatron cornered.
What did he say?
You know my trigger finger. It might just forget. I thought that. I like Pterosaur. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think he has a lot of good lines.
I like where they shoved him through a thing of sheet metal.
Yeah, that comes up. Yeah, yeah.
That's when things start to get silly. And
I love that about this episode, though.
But it was aggressive non-aggression.
That's true.
There you go. I laughed my ass off. I love it when anyone sneaks up on anyone else in Beast Wars and taps them on the head or the shoulder or whatever, like Primal does to Inferno. That was funny as hell.
Silly.
But it's silly. So... so what?
It's well, you know, this is the second time the Primal's done that.
Well, yeah, but I think the first time I ever noticed it was when Rat Trap did it to when Rhinox did it to Rat Trap way back in the season premiere, Beast Wars, the two-parter. But anyway, bullfighting Beast Wars style. Dun 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 dun.
Silly.
So, is that all you're gonna fucking say is silly? Come on.
Actually, it gets better because there's Pterosaur with his eyeballs bugging out right before he gets swatted. The giant rock falling on Tarantulas and Black Arachnia.
Yep.
And to top it all off, Pterosaur has a Wile E. Coyote moment.
Yeah.
Straight out of Acme.
You're still missing one.
Which was the other one?
Scorponok's face.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of nice that it was, you know, kind of wrapped around this aggressively non-aggressive fight. But, you know, because if it would have been the whole episode, what was the lesson with the farting?
Low Road.
Yeah, if it would have been more like Low Road, where it was the whole damn episode of being silly, I would have been, you know, mortally offended. But since this was kind of concentrated in one battle, and the rest of the episode wasn't that bad, you know, so I will give it a pass.
Yeah.
I like the spiders go squish.
Yeah.
Like a pancake.
This was actually, I don't know if it was me, but when I was watching and pausing and taking notes, and it didn't seem like I was watching this episode very long. It was a very fast-paced, but at the same time, short episode. It didn't seem like it was a full 22, 23, whatever it is, without commercial, 22-minute episode.
That was a good episode.
Yes.
Yeah, mostly consistent.
There's a lot going on in here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, you've got, you know, Megatron, who knows pretty much everything about what's going to happen, whether it be, you know, Tarantulas being Tarantulas, for lack of a better term, or if it's the alien technology popping up and exactly what the alien technology is supposed to do. I mean, it just seems like he's got a handle on things. And he's got his own, you know, evil kite, like Dr. Evil.
For a second there, I was gonna reference the Tyranno Head as Mad Cat.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Dr. Claw's evil kite.
Yeah. Whatever. That's pretty much all I have for notes. So, Steve, what do you have?
I liked Megatron's display case.
See, I read about that in the wiki, but I didn't see it. And
I have a picture of it somewhere.
Oh, I'll post it.
Yeah, I will. He's got a Generation 1 Seeker head on a shelf with an expression of horror on it.
Starscream.
yes. It looks like Starscream's, like a, you know, slap in the face to him. There's a replica of Megatron's fusion cannon. There's also a picture of himself, a bowling pin.
A bowling pin?
Yeah. I have no idea why there's a bowling pin, though.
Okay.
And I want to say there's something else there. I can't really remember. But, yeah, there's some other crap in there. Kind of like in episodes with Cheetor later, you'll see he's got like an Axelon and Cybertron solar system and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. What else did you like about it, about this one, Steve?
It was pretty cool to see the Predacons not have to use weapons, but try and... I mean, it was kind of cool with the Looney Tunes moments because it wasn't completely stupid.
It wasn't just mindless shooting and missing like a lot of Season 1 has been.
Yeah, it had more of a point, and it was weird to see Megatron go, yeah, I really don't care about you anymore. Sorry. He's like, I have better things to keep my time occupied. You are of no bother to me now. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You were the weakest link. Goodbye.
I thought it was funny. Like, do you take me for a fool? And, no, I take you for a maximal. And he's like, you got me there. You know? I can't do anything now because I'm a maximal. But whereas if Rat Trap were in the you know, or better yet, even Dinobot. If Dinobot were in the same situation, he'd be like, screw that, I'm going over there to kick all their asses while they're not looking for me.
Yep.
Kick them in their face.
In their face.
And then hit them with a shovel.
What about you, Michael? What do you got?
This is something sad and scary to admit, but the first date movie I was ever on with an honest-to-goodness girl was Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, Johnny Mnemonic, yeah.
Yeah, and this was a long, long, long time ago, and I should have looked to tell you exactly what year it came out, but I forget.
99, I think.
Was it 99?
I think so. No, 96.
No.
In your face, Flanders.
96? No, it was after that. Or before that, because I would have been in high school.
Would you stop with the damn in your face Flanders crap too?
In your face, Blanchard.
We're gonna kick Flanders straight in the nards, and then he's gonna fly off into the air like Team Rocket.
No, shut up!
Flanders, blessing him again.
Stop him already!
All right. Anyway, back to my point. To digress, Johnny Mnemonic had the 3D virtual reality moving your hands through cyberspace thing.
Yeah.
And when I saw the Predacon cyberspace, with Tigertron was hacking into, I thought that was just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I mean, granted, you know, I know that technology probably will never exist, but it's still kind of cool to see that they copied it.
Yeah.
What else did I have? Oh, and Tarantulas. Being Tarantulas, right? He says, just before he blows up Waspinator,
I'm leaving.
He says, the answer is simple. I'm leaving. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? He's leaving the room because he planted a bomb? But no, he's leaving. He's gonna bug off the planet, for lack of a better term.
Yep.
So he thinks.
He's bugging out. He's a spider.
He's bugging out.
But yeah, so I thought, by the end of the episode, when it occurred to me what he was going to do, I'm thinking, oh, he's leaving. Ah. Yeah, so and I thought that was, in retrospect, it was funny.
I was closer when I said 96. Johnny Mnemonic came out in 1995. 95? Yep, that's what I'm looking at Keanu Reeves' IMDb right now.
Okay. I'm actually thinking to myself, man, did I actually not have a date until 95? But more to the point, in my defense, I think I was too damn poor to go out to see a movie with a date until about 95. So that makes more sense.
Sad, strange little man.
I was poor, I tell you. You know, and I ever tell you guys about the strawberry grits?
No, but you can tell us in the recap episode to move this along.
All right, well, strawberry grits. Remind me, I'll tell you the story.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's pretty much all I had. I mean, at the end, it was like the golden disc is a beacon that calls the aliens, and the aliens are pissed. And after watching the next two episodes, I'm thinking, why wasn't this Other Voices Part One?
You know, I was going to mention that, too. This actually ends with Next Time on Beast Wars. This is the only episode that is an individual, even though it has continuity between itself and Other Voices, Part 1 and 2, this is the only episode in Season 1 that's a singularly titled episode that has the Next Time on.
Yeah, it was just strange. I mean, I understand why they did it, because there's scheduling issues with more than two episodes, but...
Right, yeah.
The fact that they, you know, went through all the trouble to write the story that is obviously Other Voices Part 1 in a three-parter, and yet they, you know, I don't want to say dropped the ball, but, you know, they renamed it and left it out.
I think one of the reasons why, obviously, it's called Before the Storm is because there was a storm during this episode in the beginning.
Okay.
In the end.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Actually, I'd be a smart ass, but that worked out.
Yeah, whatever. Shut up. Alright, so we are going to move on.
The truce is over.
Scan complete. This is the specimen we analyzed before. Who are you?
Unicron!
We have no physical form you could comprehend. We chose this figure of authority from your data tracks.
If you've scanned me, you know that we did not come to this planet by choice.
Yet you are here.
We mean no harm to you or this planet.
It is too late. You and your enemies have already contaminated the project. The harm has been done. That which does not become part of the One shall become void.
No! Wait! We can fix whatever damage was done.
We are not interested. The experiment will be sterilized.
You can't do that! There are living creatures here! You, with all your power, even you have no right!
We have no choice. There is more danger than you know. Begin termination sequence.
They called it a termination sequence. We'd better get out of here!
You just said my favorite phrase.
Fortunately, there is still another hand to be played.
Next up, Other Voices Part 1. Written by Larry DiTilio and Bob Forward. Air Razor, Rat Trap, and Waspinator converge at the landing site of a mysterious blue orb, sent there by their respective commanders under their assumption that the unseen aliens are playing another hand in their grand scheme. After a rounded structure envelops the orb, Optimus Primal arrives and infiltrates the alien building, only to be chained and scanned. The aliens assume a corporeal form and explain that the experiment that they have been conducting on this planet has been tainted by the Cybertronians' infestation. The appearance of the Maximals and Predacons. They announce the sterilization of the planet and begin by reformatting one of the two moons into a monster space weapon.
Okay, as I said 2 weeks ago in episode 8, the way we're going to do this episode is just one long story. So, the first notes that I've got written down here... is it just me, or was the field generator kind of looking like the center of the Matrix when it was all blue and orby-like?
It's just you.
It was just you.
Yeah.
Fuck both y'all. Shut up.
There's something wrong with you, clearly.
Shut up.
You wouldn't like it. I'd just lay there.
Oh!
Ew!
That's what she said.
That's so wrong. God damn you, boy. That's all right. Anyway.
See, now we've gone from bestiality in the last episode to now necrophilia.
Oh, God.
Damn it. Damn it, Steve.
Okay. Rat
Trap. Sorry, I saw the hole. I had to just, you know.
Plug it.
Oh, God.
Anyways.
We're not plugging any dead holes here.
Right. Dead ho. Who's a dead ho?
Dead ho. That would be Steve.
Anyway,
I didn't do anything to him while he was buried in the backyard, I swear. Right?
Liar.
Sick bastard.
I know. I thought about it though. You got a sweet looking mouth there. So.
Oh God.
Whatcha?
Shut up.
Alright, before we get into a deeper hole.
Rat Trap versus Waspinator, Ball Shot wins. Also, Rat Trap does the run, transform, spinning thing again.
I love that.
I do too. Unicron with a bunch of exclamation points behind it.
And one of them has to be a one.
No.
Because you get a typo, you miss them.
You know? No. Anyway. You know, honestly, when I first saw this, and until the entity said, no, that we just pulled this from your data tracks, when I first saw, like, the intro to this, the intro to Season 2, or I don't know if it started in this episode or if it started, I forget, I think it starts in Season 2 with the whole Unicron head thing, I could have sworn they brought Unicron back.
Oh.
When I first just saw the image of the head, I'm like, yeah. Oh, crap. Here we go again.
I think, I want to say that I think it was much later in the Transformer series where they start bringing Unicron back in everything.
Yeah, it was the Unicron trilogy.
Yeah.
Armada, Energon, and Cybertron.
Yeah, so it wasn't Beast Wars so much, but I don't think I would have begrudged them a little Unicron action in the Beast Wars.
Well,
I mean, especially after they introduced Starscream. Well, and they say, oh, well, Starscream was there defeating, or not defeating, but Starscream claimed to have been killed while fighting Unicron. So we know it's it's canon.
Right. I'm not saying it isn't. And the alien entity thing said that, you know, this is the only, you know, this we pulled this image from your data tracks. We have no physical form you can understand. Right. So, you know, I mean, that explains it away. I don't have an issue with it being Unicron's head. Just when I first just saw the image of it in the intro, I was like, oh, shit.
I like that they you know, when they had Optimus undergoing interrogation, they assume the face of Unicron. But when Air Razor gets trapped and subsequently tortured, it sounds like she's being, you know, interrogated by Klingons. And I'm like, Klingons, heck yeah.
Final two notes here. What the slag, when Tarantulas and Black Arachnia are in the base after Rhinox is blasted, Dinobot just stands there and gets hit. Invaders! Boom, boom. He just stands there and takes two hits from them. He doesn't even fight.
Two-hit KO.
He was very shocked. That's all.
He was in the middle of some either munching or crapping. It's kind of hard to decipher which.
Been crapping. He had a little TP hanging off the shoe there.
Munching and then digesting and crapping clones.
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 That's not until later.
Yeah.
Clones with cream filling.
Okay. Alright, my final note for this one. Again, this episode was too fast-paced. And it went by so fast, I think it was way short, but it still left me wanting more.
Yeah, I mean, it did go by really fast, and I didn't have a whole lot of notes for this episode, but I was really, really interested in what was going to happen in Other Voices Part 2, particularly because, you know, the spiders get into the maximal base really easily, and...
Well, she had that invention thingamajigger. She had
plot device. Which I'll never use again, but yeah, plot device.
Insert matrix of leadership here.
Yeah, but it never... at this point, they still don't know what Megatron's additional code will do to Tarantulus's, you know, doohickey that he's going to build.
Oh, we don't find out till very much later in Episode 2.
Exactly, and I'm thinking, what the hell, part. Man? I want to know. I want to watch it right now.
So, do you have anything else you want to bring up, Michael?
Yeah, something interesting that they started in this episode that I haven't seen before was scene transitions that are triggered by button pushing. At least once toward the beginning, you've got Rhinox pushing buttons, and then his finger reaches out toward you. And by the time it hits you, there's a scene transition.
Yeah.
And Megatron does the same thing, where he's pushing buttons, and then he pushes a button. And it wasn't like the finger coming out at you, but when he hit the next button, there was like a channel changing, you know, like fuzz, the next scene. Which I thought was cool, that, you know, they would hit the button and wipe to the next scene. But... you know, they've never done it before, and as far as I know, they don't do it again. So I was wondering, you know, whoever directed this one, if it was just like, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to do this button thing, just to see how that looks.
Yes. And Steve, what do you have to say about part one?
I'd have to say I like the mention nod to Unicron, although it makes me wonder how they would know about Unicron if pretty much all of the ancient history is locked away, considering, I mean, they locked away Starscream, but there was a lot of other things that they just didn't know. Although Primal is pretty knowledgeable, considering he knows who Ravage is later, so...
Well, you know,
he would understand.
And like I said, you know, a little while ago, it's explained away. They scanned his data tracks.
Clearly, he knew it.
Yeah. So.
Yes. Two other things. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Yeah, interrupt me. Go ahead, do it.
Well, I'll just stomp all over whatever you were going to say. So.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. this is the first of many episodes that they use with the other V. Meaning that, like, other voices, other visits, other victories.
Yep. Yeah.
And I can agree
with
you.
Each one of those
you.
Being an alien episode?
Yes, V, visitors. Ooh. Vok.
I hadn't put that together, to be honest. I'm like, V? With that 80s miniseries with the snake people?
That's probably where they got the idea.
The Vok aren't snake people, though, but it would have made more sense if they were.
Well, they kind of were snaky. I mean, you find out that later, but they're finally, how should we portray them? And then they figure it out by the end of season 3. But, it was nice to see a nod back to Chain at Command.
Yeah.
Because they said, scan complete, this is a specimen we have analyzed before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, which was awesome.
While he was being tentacle probed.
Again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Again. It's not the first time you've been tentacle probed.
They like the monkeys.
They like
the
monkeys. At least they didn't bend them over.
Eh. Oh, well, they did spread out his limbs, so.
Ew.
It was like one of those Japanese videos, but.
Wow.
Well, be held by the tentacles.
Yes. but I can see where you were saying that this episode felt rushed. It was like kind of like bam, 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 you know, right in a row.
It didn't feel, alright, it's like I said before, it left me wanting more, and I hated that about it because, like, you start it, and normally when I'm watching these, I start from the beginning scene. I don't start from the introduction with the music anymore, because it's the same theme over and over again.
Seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah, already. Yeah, so I start at the beginning scene, and it just seems like, I started watching it, and yeah, I'm pausing it, making notes, and checking email and everything else, but as I just watched it for a little bit, it's like blink and you miss it. It's like driving through Frankfort, Kentucky. If you blink, you're not going to see that town. Seriously, the town is exactly like 5 miles wide. Anyway, so what were the other two things you were going to mention, Michael?
Tentacle Prawn. And the last one, which I was waiting to see if either one of you guys were going to say it, and I'm really surprised you didn't. We'll say it together. That's no moon. It's a battle station.
Oh, the Star Wars reference, yeah.
I was so waiting for you guys to chime in with me. You let me down.
No, sorry.
Turn in your geek cred. Turn in your damn geek cred right now, because...
I don't even have those on DVD at all.
I don't either, but
yet.
It's not as if you haven't... Well, they're coming out on Blu-ray. They just announced it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, anyways, all right, so do we have anything else?
Them on Blu-ray.
Do we have anything else we want to say about part one?
One more time. That's no moon.
That's a battle station.
It's a battle station, that's right.
The alien... Yes, I get my geek card back, but alien moon is the start of global warming.
Yeah?
Clearly it's shooting fluorocarbons all over the planet, and the hydrofluorocarbons.
Energy beam that transforms
HFC.
The energon into stable cubes or destroys it with heat.
That battle station is deflowering that planet.
It did kind of look like a big metal flower.
Yeah, pretty much.
After it spread open.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Spreading your legs to. Yeah.
And what's it look like after sex? It looks like a bulldog eating mayonnaise.
Oh god. Okay. Okay. Moving on to Other Voices Part 2. Take it away, Steve.
Let me read the description and shut your pie hole.
Hi.
Other Voices Part 2. The Planet Buster Moon begins its vaporization of all energon deposits on the world below. Desperate to escape the doomed planet, Tarantulas and Black Arachnia infiltrate Maximal HQ in order to convert a stasis pod into a makeshift escape craft. Optimus Primal has only one chance to stop the planet-wide devastation, but it's risky. As time runs out, Megatron reveals a foolproof plan to kill the Maximal leader.
Uh-huh. Alright. My first note for this one. I don't know if it was in the recap portion. No, it wasn't. It was after the whole Planet Buster thing said. Return to Nexus Zero, ? At least they didn't say Nexus Maximus, you know?
Yeah, which is an adult toy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. More romantic babble between the spiders, meh. Tarantulas on fire, awesome. Love that.
That was cool.
That was so fucking awesome.
You know, that didn't look like 3D fire either. That looked like actual flames. And when he ran by, I was like, how did they do that?
Yeah. In all caps, never enter a spider's body. Never.
Oh, because his mind is a scary place?
Yeah.
It was creepy.
Yes, it was.
I mean, we could have done without it. They could have cut that out, and I wouldn't have cared, but yeah. It was still kind of like, bleh.
I actually went back and I got the audio for this two-parter here, and I found this out. But at the time when I was just watching it to make notes, 140 rads in climbing. What the fuck is a rad? And of course, it's their version of degrees.
Heat.
Yes.
Told you they started global warming.
It's very warm.
It's hotter than the hell in here. I need a glass of ice water.
We're not going to take it anymore.
Boy, it's so humid. It's like an oven in here.
Now, Nexus Zero, though, is where the Vok originated from.
Uh-huh.
It's their little cloud, which will show up later.
Oh, okay.
So that's the whole beginning of that, basically.
I believe so far I've gotten two quotes for this episode. I doubt I'm going to get much more than that because 2 weeks ago on episode 8, that had 5 different quotes because everybody said, I like this quote or oh, I like that quote or whatever. So, yeah. Cheetor, leaping lasers. Could this be a reference to Ironhide's leaking lubricants?
Meh.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember leaking lubricants from G1?
I remember leaking lubricants, I just don't remember leaping lizards.
No, not leaping lizards, leaping lasers.
Oh.
It's a laser. Firing my laser.
Okay. It's not a Little Orphan Annie reference?
No. Anyway. Yes. Air Razor didn't just bitch slap Black Arachnia, she bitch punched her.
Punched her right in the nose.
In the face. She said, give me your face, and punched her.
You Optimuses like sacrificing yourselves, don't you?
Yep.
And then we have another Cryotech moment, actually. No! Megatron! And then, of course...
That was... Con!
Yep.
Basically.
I can't do Shatner.
No.
I've got two exactly. More, and then that's it for me. Optimus, you got some splodin' to do.
As far as quotes go, there was a good one where Rat Trap was still whining about dying. And I think it was Air Razor and Optimus that turned toward him and just said, shut up, Rat Trap.
That's one of them that I grabbed already.
That was great.
Yeah.
And the last one, when Black Arachnia is in the Maximal base and she says, you realize this is crazy. And Optimus says, sometimes...
Crazy works. Yep. Last note.
Is that the first time he said that? Because it seems like he said that before.
No, he said it before.
That's what I thought.
My last note is, that explosion while it repeated four or five times, was a badass effect in the animation.
Oh yeah, it looked like the Genesis Project. And
oh, when the planet was being turned on, it totally looked like Genesis Project.
No. I'm talking about when the ship exploded. Come on, when the ship crashed into the moon thingamajigger, the battle station.
Explosion.
You know, I know this came out in, what, 97? And I was trying to remember when Lucas remade A New Hope. Because when the first Death Star blew up in 1978, it was kind of a really shitty explosion. When he redid it, and I want to say it was like 95 or something, when he redid it, it was a much more satisfying explosion, and it was huge, and there was these, you know, the vibration rings that shot out into space. And I was thinking to myself, this looks a lot like that Death Star, redo.
Yes. Well, I want to say in their redo that they did it in, well, this is kind of ironic, in 97.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go, yeah. I don't remember exactly what the year was, but it looked like, it almost looks like the animators saw the Death Star blow up and went, wow, we got to do that. That would be cool.
Yeah,
if we're
going to
blow up a planet, that's what it's going to look like.
Yep. That was the first time they remastered it, and they redid it again on DVD in 2004, so.
Yeah, that wasn't nearly as cool, though.
No, they had to gay it up a little bit. But anyways, that's my Star Wars reference, but
mine was better.
Yeah, but
that's what she said.
Oh,
your mom. Anyways,
that's what your mom said.
Steve, anyways, what are your thoughts on this part?
I'm jumping back to it. People would stop. You didn't hear it. And I'm caught in the point.
Your mom said Nexus Maximus? What?
Oh, God.
Everyone argues over who's going to sacrifice themselves.
Well, quit playing with your leaking lubricants and listen.
my leaping laser is leaking lubricant.
Fire in your laser now, shut up. Nexus Zero was also mentioned in TF Animated.
Was it?
Yes. Society of Ultimate Villainy, where Swindle activated a force field to shield himself. He claimed to have gotten this from the Vok in Nexus Zero and recommended
okay.
that
yeah,
they go there.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, so that there is other reference. Larry DiTilio also intended this to be the Vok Nebula, where it's basically the same as the Matrix.
See, I told you that thing in the beginning of the first part looked like the center of the damn Matrix.
The thing.
Anyway, what else you got, Steve?
Where the tiger and the cheetah are outside looking at the Planet Buster, and then the little lasers coming down, and the entire thing's completely like whitish blue. Mm-hmm. It looks like a giant like sucker. Just that scene. It looks like two cats looking at a giant sucker sitting in the sky.
Okay.
Wow. Shut your pie hole. Anyways,
I just said wow. Shut up and give us your damn thoughts already.
I like where Black Arachnia grabbed Inferno's gun and then shot him in the face. And Inferno just kind of bent down like, alright, I'll take it.
She took him out pretty easily.
I know. He just stood there and stared at her and went, ugh, and then just got blasted.
He saw it coming.
Yeah, he's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I like this particular quote from the episode. Brilliant. They're causing a chain reaction which will rip this planet to atoms and destroy all traces of them, simply to deal with us. Such sheer ruthlessness, such disregard for sentient life. I rather like these aliens. Like them, they're trying to destroy us. Wasmina do not want to be destroyed. Wasmina has plans. Megatron will save us? I think not. I've reserved that task for Tarantulas.
And then Tarantulas gets set on fire.
Oh. I thought that was funny when he got caught on fire. But here we have the first instance of Megatron actually coming out and saying, this is what my secret code was for. I put the secret code into Tarantulas' doohickey specifically so that he would be shot into this planet, thus saving everybody and getting rid of my most treacherous, underling.
Yeah. I don't actually think it worked out that way. I think he did it not knowing that Primal was going to get in it. I think he just said, you know what? To hell with it. Somebody's going to die, and they'll save everybody, and so I don't really care who, because the Tarantulas is, treacherous, and right. Primal's a pain in the ass.
I think having Prime in there was just a lucky break. He didn't expect that to happen. It was just holy cow, what are you doing in there?
You're both wrong. Even though he did plan for Tarantulas to be in that, and that's why he made that change, he shows up at the end on a vid screen when Primal tried to open the hatch, and it's magnetically sealed. It's because Megatron did it, and then that whole speech with the two of them at the end. You know, this is the end, Optimus Primal, and, you lose with the finger in the
face.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. But I'm guessing, though, that, when Megatron found out that it was Optimus in the pod...
Well, then he handed Glow.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, holy cow, what are you doing in there? Sweet. All right. I'll run with this.
Got to get my licks in now before he dies.
And, Prime, he's in his pod heading into the planet, and he says, if I'm going to die, I'm damn well going to do it looking like Optimus Prime. And he puts the face mask up. Like, heck yeah, I'm badass looking while I die.
Yeah.
Another one bites the dust.
Space dust. And then, it's the end, with a big question mark. And I'm thinking, if I were watching this for the first time in 1997, I would be pissed. Because it's like, wait a minute.
I bet Steve was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, did he just lose? Is the Beast Wars over? I'm confused. And, I'd be really pissed and kind of anxious for the second season. I'm already anxious for the second season. I have to go pop that in tonight, I think.
I already started. I didn't really start, but I started on... I've watched Aftermath so far. Do we have anything else we want to say about the Other Voices two-parter?
I like at the end where, if you freeze frame it really well, you can see Optimus Primal's head screaming, flying across space, as well as his chest plate.
His head?
Yes, I swear to God, I freeze-framed this so many times.
I saw bits and pieces of stuff. I didn't notice any.
It's like a 2-second thing, like literally. It's real fast.
That's another screenshot you'll have to find.
Yeah.
I'll let Steve do that. I already got my screenshot for you, which was Optimus Primal Schwarzenegger.
I dig that. Yeah, that was very cool.
So are we done with Other Voices?
I think so.
Alright, that's it for this. We will be back after some promos, and we will be back with outro. Yeah.
Every one of these alien structures have been designed for a specific purpose, Rat-Trap. This one is busy, and I'm betting I can fly close enough to take it out.
With what? One of your famous "We Can Do It" speeches?
A transwarp explosion.
You'll blow yourself to atoms.
If it saves this planet, it'll be worth it. If not, I'm no worse off. Either way, it's the only chance any of us have right now.
Unhand me, pussycats. I've got work to do.
You can't do this, Big Bot! I'll fly the ship!
No! Let me! I owe this world.
I'm grateful, but only a flyer has a chance of getting clear of the blast.
Exactly! Well, I'm the one to go!
Well, what about you, Rat-Trap?
Hey! Suicide ain't in my job description.
Or mine. Now start rigging an auto-charge in that transwarp cell. I'll need about 30 nanoclicks to clear the ship.
You got it!
In you go.
Hey,
Cozy.
Just like a coffin. You realize this is crazy.
Sometimes crazy works. Thanks for your help.
Better you than me. Take care, Optimus. Come back to us.
May the Matrix protect your spark for all eternity.
Just in case you don't come back, can I have your quarters?
No. Whatever happens out there, I want you to know that you're the finest crew I've ever served with.
Maximals always talk such slop.
My sentiments exactly.
By the pit, the command codes have been changed. Optimus is flying the ship. How delicious, yes.
Come on! Got it! There's Big Bot!
How'd you get a signal through the shields?
I opened a hole big enough for a spectrum pulse. Rhinox showed me how. I wish he was here. Pod ship will close with objective in 15.7 cycles.
Optimus. Nearly there. And no sign of any defense yet.
He's closing in. Computer, how much time?
Planetary destruction in 5.3 cycles.
Oh, man! Leave it to the monkey to take it to the wire!
Alien construct in range.
Let's do it. Commence ignition sequence.
Commencing. Ignition in 60 nanoclicks.
Prepare to blow pod hatch.
Unable to comply. Pod hatch is magna sealed.
That's impossible!
Oh, I assure you, it is not.
Megatron?
Ironic, isn't it? Both of us hitting upon the same plan to destroy the alien machine. Well, unfortunately, in my version, the pilot goes down. Or should I say, up with the ship.
He's almost inside the alien structure. Why doesn't he ditch?
Oh, come on, fearless leader. Get it in gear.
Too late. Goodbye, Optimus.
Oh, you Optimuses do love to sacrifice yourselves, don't you? Unfortunately, this time your foolishness will destroy you and your Maximals. The Beast Wars are over, Optimus. You lose.
We'll return to the Beast Unleashed podcast after this.
Yes, my queen.
She wouldn't call me that.
Now we can all get reduced to hot burning slag together.
Shut up, Rattrap!
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast, Ultra Gear.
Now, back to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
So that pretty much does it for Season 1. Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, join the forums, predicamentempire.com/nexus, and no, we are not maximized. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Beast Unleashed is the show Twitter. TFG1 Mike is mine. Michael, what is your Twitter?
Pecan Corp Michael.
And Steve?
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we will be recapping Beast Wars Season 1. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips
and Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.